This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right, what's up, everybody? Hey, so good to see everybody. So we started a series last week, a new series called Fake ID. And it's funny when you start having conversations like this, the stories you get when you do a series about fake ID. Some of y'all need to knock it off, right? I jokingly, we talk about every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. And some of you saints have some very, very interesting pasts. When it comes to fake IDs and stuff. In fact, I'll tell you one quick story. I'll leave nameless, but somebody was telling us when they were in college, you do a lot of stupid things when you're at that age, right? Anybody? Yeah. So she was in college, and her friend wanted to go to a bar, and she wasn't old enough, so she was like, well, here, use my old driver's license. So she did. For several years past that, got a ticket at some point beyond that, gave them that identification, so when she went to get her license renewed, she had a warrant for her arrest. Fake IDs, it's not a joke, man. It's not anything you want to play around with. So we kind of kicked the series off. The idea here is we're looking at issues of identity, like who we are, right? That's the question. If you want to, I guess if you could pinpoint what is the most asked question in all of human history, I think that would have to be in the top five, right? Like, who am I? Who am I? And then we probably would get into questions of like, well, what is my purpose? Why am I here? Those are the questions that we ask all of the time. But I think one of the most fundamental questions that you have to answer if you want to live any kind of life of significance and meaning and purpose and look forward to the future, I think you have to figure out who you are. And we have to answer that question, who am I? Has anybody else ever had that question, right? No? Cool. Maybe I'm at the wrong church. Maybe I should have went somewhere else this morning and asked them about it. So it's a burning question, right? That's one of those heavy questions too, because that's one of those questions. In fact, I believe this is one of those questions that drives a lot of like lines of thought, and you get philosophy and all of these other kind of variants. And people who are in pursuit of this information, they just want to know who they are, and they kind of want to understand a deeper meaning as to who it is that they are and kind of what that translates to and what that means, right? So we kicked it off last week with a title called Imposter Syndrome. Has anybody ever felt like an imposter? Golly, probably every Sunday morning at about 11:30, your boy feels like an imposter. So the idea is like you just don't feel capable, confident, you don't feel qualified to do the thing that you're doing. And so we answered two questions in that last week. Am I good enough? And do I have what it takes? And you can get that. All of our stuff is on online, podcasts and whatnot. So the new trend is to call a podcast a pod, and I'm just not for it. It's so cheesy, right? Like, oh, you can listen to the pod. Just call it a podcast, dog. Like, it's so easy. It's not, well, like, we abbreviate the dumbest stuff. So this week, we're going to look at another layer of identity, and it kind of relates to answering that question, the one that we referenced earlier. Who am I? Like, so I think to get the right answers, the first thing that you've got to do is you've got to look for answers in the right places. Because I think so often what happens is like, yeah, people are in pursuit of truth. They're in pursuit of the answers to the questions that they have, but they're looking in all of the wrong places. It would be like, you're sitting at your desk, you're in high school or college or whatever the case may be, and you're in your history class, and you've got a test in front of you about history. You don't go get your geometry workbook to try to find the answers to the history tests, right? You got to look for answers in the right places. Okay. And if that doesn't kind of aptly describe the world that we live in, like people are looking for answers, people are searching, but unfortunately, what you find is people are often looking in all the wrong places. And what that is, this is so sad, but it's like putting a Band-Aid on a gaping wound, right? It's like, oh, I fixed it. No, you patched it. There's a big difference between patching and fixing. And so what needs to happen is like surgery needs to happen, and you're just putting a Band-Aid on this major issue of identity. So we're going to try to answer that question today as best we can. Like, I mean, I certainly have my limitations, but I'm going to do what I can to help you out, right? But before we get into the big question, I think we have to ask some more questions. Do you have a child who asks entirely too many questions? There's always one, at least one, right? Like, you'll have, like, so Shelly and I, we hit home runs the first two. They were just like, do whatever you tell them to do, kind of go with the flow. And then comes Titus. And Titus likes to ask questions, a lot of questions. He asks questions about his questions and just questions. But here's the thing about questions. When you're asking questions, clarifying questions, questions that lead you to a better understanding of the question, I think it's helpful. And I think, again, questions are important. I just don't like answering them sometimes because some of them are just dumb, right? Questions are very, very significant, but they're kind of burdensome at the same time if you're the one responsible for answering the question. So let's ask a couple of questions, a couple of more questions before we get into the question. Clear? Good? All right. The first question is, like, what is identity? Like, I just don't want to assume that we all know what we're talking about, because sometimes that happens. Sometimes you have to be like, yeah, I know what you're talking about, and you have no clue what they're talking about. We'll clear the air. We'll make sure that we're all on the same page when it comes to identity. By definition, this is what identity is. It's the condition or character as to who a person or what a thing is, the qualities, beliefs, etc. I can't believe they used etc. in a that's an actual definition, etc. that distinguish or identify a person or a thing. So it's pretty straightforward. It's like, what makes you you? It's if you were a house and we were going to build you, these are the blocks that we would use to build the house of you, right? It's the building. It's the things that make you you. It's the personality traits that you have, your characteristics, your actions, your beliefs, all of these things compiled into your identity. It's what makes you uniquely you. That's what identity is. So that's a pretty easy question to answer. We're one for one so far. But the second question is, like, if it's such an easy thing to understand, then why in the world are we still perpetually dealing with issues of identity? Why is this an issue that isn't answered once and done away with for all time? Why do people generation after generation after generation have questions of who am I? And I think there's a lot of things at play in that particular question. I think the first thing is that it's just the state of our being, our understanding. It's kind of the natural human default or defect, frankly, where we just have so many questions about who we are, what we're here for, and we're curious. I mean, I think that makes sense. And so often when things don't work out the way that you think they work out, the first thing we do is internalize it, which leads us to have these questions of identity. Right? So it's a perpetual problem. It's a human issue. It's a human condition. It's one that will never be finally and fully answered for the next generation. I think everybody has to figure it out for themselves. And that's really only exacerbated by the fact that we talked in a couple of months ago. We did a series called Schemes. Y'all remember that one? That was good. That was so rich. But there was an idea here is that we have an enemy. And our enemy has tactics that he uses. The devil wants to divide you. He wants to separate you from God, keep you distracted, keep you, basically busy and not effective as it relates to your relationship with God and the work that he's called you to do. And I think that one of his most profound tactics that we didn't even talk about in the series, because it didn't go along with all of the alliteration. Because, I mean, it's just, you know, we were working with, like, D's, and so it was, like, distraction and all these other things. But the one that I think this is a tactic that doesn't get as much attention is that he understands that one of the weaknesses that we have, kind of one of the deficiencies that we have, is that we're always questioning, we have this question, who am I? And he sees it as an opportunity for attack. He sees it as a weakness, a way that he can get in and start to undermine your confidence in who you are. You can start to have these questions about, like, man, am I significant? Do I matter? Am I loved? And you start to question your identity because we have this weakness and he exploits that weakness. And I don't like to give credit, but he's really good at it. In fact, listen, he's so confident in his ability to undermine your confidence and your identity. This is the tactic that he used when he was trying to tempt Jesus, the Son of God. So Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4, goes out into the wilderness. He fasts for 40 days, which is unbelievable. Like, I can't go 40 minutes without thinking about food, frankly. Food and I, we have a relationship. It's significant, right? So, I mean, Shelly is my significant other, but food is my significant other, right? So I love food. So Jesus had gone into the wilderness, to the desert. He fasted for 40 days. And it says that at this point, the enemy, the devil, the tempter comes to him. And this is that conversation. Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It says, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. How did he start that conversation? If you really are who you say, he's questioning his identity. Like, Jesus came to the earth as the Son of God. He stepped into time and space on our behalf to show the world what love looks like and ultimately pay the price for all of our sins. He is the Son of God. He was sent from God for us. And the first thing that the enemy does is he calls into question his identity. If you really are the Son, and if he would use this tactic against Jesus, you best believe he's going to use it against you and against me. And it's really, really important to understand that, look, it's not just you that are having issues with identity and questioning who you are. Like, it's exacerbated, right? It's compounded by the fact that somebody hates you and they're going to throw this stuff in your face as often as possible, right? Oh, that's good. Good morning. Nice of y'all to join us. So that's the first thing. We answered a few more questions to help us get to better questions. But I don't even know that it's just asking better questions and looking for the answers in the right place. I think in this particular instance, we're kind of asking the wrong question. I think we need to reframe the question and look at it from just a little bit of a different perspective, right? To get to the answer of the question, who am I? I think we really have to start with the question, who does God say that I am? I guess where it's got to start, because, man, and we get this so messed up. We get this so twisted because we like to, and unfortunately, like, there's a lot of influence, like, coming in elsewhere that's causing us to misappropriate our attention on the wrong things. Like, when we should be asking God, who do you say that I am? We start to ask everybody else, well, who do you think I am? And I don't know about you, but I'm just not very interested in the opinions of experts. I want to know what God says I am. I want to know who God says I am. I want to know how God feels about me. I want to know what God thinks my future looks like. And according to his word, he says, hey, I got a plan for you. I got a future for you. And it's filled with hope. And we can have confidence in that. I want that kind of information coming into my head. Not some of these nonsensical naysayers who always got something to say. Have you noticed that people who always got something to say ain't got nothing to say? Like, they just talk to talk and they're saying things, but they ain't really saying things. It's like they're in the car and they're revving up the engine, but the engine's in neutral, but the transmission's in neutral. And they're like, but you ain't going nowhere. I want to listen to Jesus. I want to listen to God and what he says I am and who he says I am. And I'm going to place my confidence in that, not who other people say I am or what other people think about me. And if we could get to the place as a society, as a culture, as a church even, where we don't worry nearly as much about what other people think about us as we do what God thinks about us, that is life-changing. That is earth-shattering. That is transformative stuff. This is the kind of stuff that takes a group of people and makes them like the church in Acts, where it says, this is the group of people who turned the world upside down because they didn't care what other people thought about them. They were concerned with what God thought about them. And that's where we have to start with the question of identity. Who am I? It really doesn't matter, does it? I mean, it matters. It's important. But who does God say that I am? That's the question that we have to start with. Could you imagine going into an art studio? I haven't been to a lot of art studios lately, frankly. I like art. I took art appreciation in college. I learned a thing or two. Or a thing. Maybe not two, but I learned a thing. I really do. I enjoy it. But let's just imagine you go to an art studio, and I feel like they're kind of prudish, right? They're kind of uppity. It's kind of stale and crusty a little bit. Like, you got to walk pretentiously if you're going into an art studio. So let's just say you went into an art studio and you're looking at this piece of art really just kind of draws your eyes. Like, it's a painting, beautiful, colorful, you know, it's not like the abstract stuff that it's like, I mean, I could have done that. And I have very limited abilities as it relates to art, but some of that stuff, I'm like, my three-year-old, I don't have a three-year-old, but if I did, they could have done that. So, I mean, like a beautiful, beautiful painting, and you're standing there and you're looking at it, and this prudish hipster walks up to you. And I just, in my mind, he's got one of those thin mustaches with a curl for whatever reason. You know, the tight rolled jeans and boots, and, you know, just like what you would expect. And he comes up to you. Let's just play out our hypothetical scenario. He comes up to you, and in all of his pretentiousness and arrogance, he starts to tell you about the painting. And he starts to give you his opinions, because he's the expert, right, about the painting and what the artist was thinking and his technique and the meaning behind. It's always confused me so much. Like, people who have these ideas as to the meaning behind pieces of art or literature, I would just much rather ask the painter. I would much rather ask the artist or the writer what the meaning was behind the thing that they created. And so in this scenario, let's say that you're having this conversation with this guy who's telling you all of the things about the painting, not knowing that the painter is standing right there listening to the nonsense. And so maybe at this point, the painter steps in and he's like, hey, boy, because any good painter would lead in with that, right? Hey, that's not really what I had in mind when I created this piece of art. That's not really what I had in mind when I was working on this masterpiece. What I had in mind instead is this. And he goes through all of the detail, and he talks about what makes this particular piece of art unique and special, and the plan that he had for it, and all of the ideas around that. Which of the two are you going to listen to, the expert, or are you going to listen to the creator? When it comes to identity, how about we stop listening to the experts who have all of their opinions about you and your life and what you should do with your life and who you should become and what you should pursue? And maybe instead we listen to the creator. We listen to the one who created you with such intentionality and purpose. He's got a plan for you. Again, plans to prosper you, like we read about in Jeremiah chapter 29. That's such a good one. I think we use it out of context, but boy, it preaches good. Plans to prosper you, right? Anyway, stop. So I would rather listen to the creator. I would rather listen to the one who knows me so well, because he concocted me in his mind before I was ever born. Like, he thought about me long before anyone else thought about me. He thought about the plan that he had for me and the destiny that he had for me long before anyone else did, and long before other people could interject their opinions about that. I just would rather listen to the creator. Isaiah 64, and you've probably kind of heard this imagery where it talks about, in the book of Jeremiah, it talks about how God is the potter, right? And we are the clay. So the potter is the one who forms and makes and molds the clay into whatever it is that he wants to make of the clay. We're just the clay. And he makes us what he wants us to be, and he forms us and molds us into whatever his intended outcome is. And we don't really get to question, as the clay, why the potter did what the potter did. We just have to trust that the potter is good and his plan for us is right. And we submit to that and we follow that. But it says in Isaiah 64, verse 8, it says, "But now, Lord, you are our father. We are the clay and you are our potter." It's kind of poetic, isn't it? It kind of rhymes. If it rhymes, it's got to be true. I've heard that somewhere. "And all of us are the work of your hand." All of us are the work of your hand. So don't stand in the art studio and look for and listen to the opinions of other people, because there is no shortage of opinions about you and your things and what you should be doing and how you should be living and the mistakes that you've made and the decisions that you've made. Like, just post an opinion on Facebook and see how quickly that goes. Just see how quickly south that goes. And like, dog, I don't even know you. Like, people that you've never even met will tell you what you should be doing with your life versus the one who made you. Let's start there. Who does God say that you are? And so we'll try to answer this quickly. This is a super truncated version, right? We don't have time for all of it, but let me give you just a few things that I thought were significant as it relates to our conversation. Who am I? Who does God say that I am? The first one is this: I am loved, which also means that I am lovable, because sometimes you just don't feel either of those, right? Sometimes you don't feel like you're loved, and sometimes you don't feel like you're even lovable. I am chosen. I am forgiven. I am accepted. I am free. I am redeemed. I am God's workmanship. I am light. I am provided for. That's a good one. Philippians chapter 4. My God shall supply. That's a good, because you're provided. Because look, I don't know how your bank account's set up, but there are times where I'm like, oh God. Or you know, maybe if you're doing it right, oh Lord. Like how are we gonna, sometimes it looks like, man, I remember so clearly one time, Shelly, early on when we got married, we were po. Like we were so po, it was like P-O, we couldn't afford the other O and the R. Like we were, yeah, y'all don't understand. Like some of y'all, I told you guys, like you started out with central heat and air conditioning. I don't want to hear it. Like you don't know what a struggle is. So, we were, as they say, we were living on love, right? We didn't know any better. So here we are. Our diet consisted of green beans, chips. I called them nachos. They weren't nachos. And somehow or another, we made it. Like, we made it. And so I remember early on, like, I had started a business, and it was just, you know, it was a lot of work and a lot of money and resources would all go to it. And I was kind of stressed out at one point, like, just, like, you know, and I don't know how you do things, but I internalize things. I kind of start to go in when things are hard, and I shut people out. And so, like, I was getting to that place, and Shelly was, so in such wisdom was like, hey, I see something's going on. Let's talk about it. And you know, the reaction to that is, I don't want to talk about it. So finally she draws it out, and I'm like, look, I need more money than I think we've probably ever made in about a week for everything to work. And she's like, okay, let's pray. And I'm like, oh Lord, right? So I remember those stresses. And in moments like that, the question of identity pops up, like, am I good enough? Do I have what it takes? Am I going to make it through this? Do I even know what I'm doing? Is God for real in love with me? Or is he going to bring me to this place and just leave me here? And in that moment, I got to remember, I am provided for. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, not according to anything that you've done or you do. That's why this issue of identity is so important, because again, it's constantly, perpetually being attacked, and there's always going to be things that come against you, and there's always going to be things that you have to contend with and deal with. So you need to know who God says you are. I am complete because, can I help the relationship seeking individuals out for just a minute? Like, hey, listen, ain't nobody going to complete you. Ain't the next relationship ain't gonna complete. If you aren't complete without, then you will never be complete. Like, the completion comes from Jesus. God made you complete. Everything from that point forward is bonus. Like, you have to be confident in who you are and who God has made you. Like, this whole "you complete me" is a lie. It is not just a lie. It is a lie from the pits of hell. I'm just gonna. Nobody complete. You better be who you are and who God has called you to be. Otherwise, that relationship that you're jumping into is about to be a train wreck, because you're going to find out what codependency looks like real quick. I am complete. I am his child. I am more than a conqueror. I am a new creation. I am a new creation. The old has passed and the new has come. So this is who we are, and this is where we have to begin the conversation when we're trying to answer this question of identity. The trick is to figure out who we are, who God says that we are. And then what we have to do is we have to get our quote unquote identity to match up with our true identity, who God has actually called us to be, how we're living according to the definition, right? It's the things that make you you. It's your beliefs, it's your action, it's your activity, it's your relationships, it's your thoughts. All of these things, we have to get those to match up with who God says that we are. So that's what we'll call identical identity. Identical identity. Have you ever thought about how similar those two words are, even though they have very different meanings? Identical identity. I do, for whatever reason. Apparently nobody else did, but it's okay. The process of getting who we are and trying to match it up with who we were created to be is what we will call identical identity. The goal is to get them to match up. Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a find and catch me a catch, right? So we're trying to get, this is how I feel. This is what I look like when I'm living everyday day life. These are my thoughts. These are my actions. These are my beliefs. These are my relationships. These are the things that I think would make me who I am. And if they're not lined up with who God says that I am, then we've got some matchmaking to do. We've got to pull who we are into who we really are, who we were created to be. And again, we're the clay. We don't get to decide which of these is right. We have to submit to what God says is right and try to get our lives to line up with what he says is best. The goal is to get them to match up who God says that we are. Otherwise, it's a fake ID. Right? When you're not operating and living under this idea of who God says that you are, and you're trying to do some of these things your own way, that's a fake identity. That's not your true identity. That's not what you were made for. That's not what you were created for. You're operating under a fake identity. Our lives should be a pursuit of matching up our daily activities, thoughts, actions, beliefs, interactions, relationships, etc., since we can't use that in definitions, with who God has already said that we are. When you start having, let's say you're living here and you're really in pursuit of this. You really want to live the way that God says that you are, who that God says you are. You want to live in that. You want to walk in that and operate in that. So what happens is inevitably you kind of start to slip, right? Yeah. Sometimes you start to operate contrary to your true identity. You start to do some things that are out of character for your true identity. You start to, maybe you start to do some things like, hey, you are a new creation. The old things have gone and new things have come. Maybe you're slipping back into some of the old things that you used to do. That's not who you are. You need to kind of slide on back into your true identity, who it is that God has called you to be, who God made you to be. And I think when we do that, once we see ourselves, we catch ourselves slipping, then we just gotta step back into it, right? Right? That's good. Otherwise, it's a fake ID, right? That's not who you are. That's who you used to be, but that's not who you are. Let's say as a result of that, consequently, the things that you used to do, maybe now you're starting to feel shame and guilt and regret. And you know that people can't let stuff go, right? They can't let the things that you used to do go, like your fake ID that you gave away when you were in college. Preachers talk about it on Sunday morning. They just can't let anything go. And they keep bringing stuff up. And so you start to feel the weight and shame of the things that you've done. That's not who you are. Who you are is forgiven. Who you are is accepted. The old has gone and the new has come. He has separated our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. That ain't who you are. So come back over here. If you start operating in that place, living in that place of shame and regret and guilt, that's a fake ID. That's not who you are. So stop living in that place. When you begin to believe like, hey, man, I am loved. I don't know why, but I am loved and I am lovable. And boy, I don't feel it. I feel like as prickly as a cactus half the time. But I am like, I can't imagine the depths of God's love for us that somebody who is as prickly as a cactus gets a bear hug from God. And like he just endures the weight and shame and the pain of hugging a cactus like me. I don't feel very lovable sometimes. And when you don't feel very lovable, you start to kind of believe that that's who you are. Like, well, you know, I just don't believe that I can be loved. And if I can't be loved, then I can't trust people. And I can't be vulnerable. And I can't open myself up. And I can't have deep relationships. And we start to operate under a fake ID. Do you see how this works? So what we've got to do is we got to get back to, I am loved, even if it doesn't make sense. I am loved with a love that is unconditional. It is not based on merit, effort, or work. It's not based on how good I think I am or my performance, because if it was that, it would be a grade, and it's not a grade, it's love. Those are two very different things. So when we operate on the other side of it, it's a fake ID, right? So that's kind of where this whole thing, it comes full circle. Let me give you an example of this. So we're probably familiar with Peter. Like, even if you didn't grow up in church, you don't go to church, everybody's kind of heard of Peter. Like, Peter is famous for a couple of things. He walked on water for a few seconds, and then he took his eyes off Jesus and went for a swim. And then Peter is notorious for denying Jesus, and we like, that story is so profound because there's so many layers to it, right? So Peter is known for denying Jesus three times, and then he's like, uh-oh, what I done did, right? So let me give you some context here. So this is towards the end of Jesus's life when he is being sent to ultimately be crucified, and the story goes that at this point, Peter and Jesus had these really, really intense conversations. One in Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus is like, hey, Peter, who do you say that I am? Identity, right? Like, who do you say that I am? Because Jesus wasn't asking for validation. He wanted Peter to know who he was so Peter could figure out who he was, right? Jesus wanted Peter to know who Jesus was so Peter could know who Peter was. And so he asked him, he said, hey, Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter gave the right answer. He's like, you are the Son, or you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus told him, he said, you're right. And because you got this right, this is what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to change your name. I'm going to call you. You're not going to be Peter anymore. You're not going to be Simon. You're going to be Petra, which means rock. You're going to be this thing that I can build on. You're a foundation for what I'm going to do in the future. And the gates of hell aren't going to be able to prevail against it. That's a powerful purpose to step into, isn't it? When Jesus says to you, hey, you're a rock, and I'm going to use you to build the future of the church, and the gates of hell aren't going to be able to prevail against it. That would be a pretty awesome statement to receive from Jesus. Fast forward not long after, and this is the story that we get, Matthew chapter 26, verses 73 and 75. A little later, those who stood by, oh, by the way, Peter had already denied Jesus two times up to this point. And what's interesting about when he denied Jesus, what he was saying was, I don't identify with Jesus. Because the question was, like, hey, isn't that man with one of them? Isn't that man with Jesus? And Peter denied it. He didn't identify with him. And so the third denial looks like this. A little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you are also one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear. I told y'all he was a cussing fisherman, and y'all, some of y'all didn't even know that was in there. And this is like, it's so rich. Like, it's important to read this stuff. And for whatever reason, this is kind of immature. Can I be immature for like 3 seconds? Thanks, Shelly. You get me all the time immature. Yeah, only 3 seconds, that'd be a miracle. So when I hear that Peter is cursing and swearing, for whatever reason, my mind defaults to Home Alone and the like frickin', like when he gets hurt. So that's what Peter was doing. He's walking around mumbling under his breath. So he began to swear and curse, and he says, I do not know the man. Immediately, a rooster crowed. Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out, and he wept bitterly because he was operating under a fake ID. In the moment when the heat was on, the pressure was on, and he felt the weight of everyone else's opinions, you were with him. And everybody's kind of crowding around him and kind of accusing him of things and whatever else is going on in this moment. He chose to operate under a fake ID rather than identify with Jesus and live out the identity that he had been given as the rock that Jesus would build his church on. And we give Peter a real hard time about that, but we do the same thing. Right, we do the same thing. So let's think about our identity in terms of identical identity. Let's get who we are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, not just Sunday morning. Let's get who we are to line up with who God says that we are. And if you've got some things, if there are some discrepancies, if it doesn't fully match up, for whatever reason, I almost went to Walmart this morning and picked one up, because where else would you go? One of those kids' toys where it's got like the shapes, like you got the triangle and a circle and a star, and you gotta match them, right? Because you know, the triangle ain't ever gonna fit in the circle, try as you may. I mean, unless you got tools. But that's not what we're doing here, right? Like, well, we can make it fit. It doesn't fit in that hole. That's not the match for it. That's not where it belongs. It is a fake ID. It's not operating under the way that it was created to operate and the, kind of the idea of the creator of that particular device. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works, right? So let's get our identity to match up with the identity that God has given to us, who he says that we are. I'm going to give you some help to do this. The last point is called prepositions. Prepositions, for those of you who like grammar, all one of us, right? It's fine. How do you identify the teachers? Use grammar in church, right? So I want to close with a thought on how to get these things to match, right? How to get the identity that we have and the identity that God has given us to match up. And I think we use prepositions to do that. This is really cheesy, so you're just going to have to go for a cheesy ride with me, right? So you cannot look around to find the answers to the questions that you're looking for. Like, look, I love people for the most part. Sometimes. Like, listen, this is my relationship with people. I love people for just a little while, and then I got to go, right? And then some of y'all just make that real hard. Not people here, but people elsewhere, and, you know, especially people who do not know how to drive. Can we talk about this for just a minute? Like, I'm pretty sure if they did a survey on the worst city to drive in, we up there. So I love people. I'm convincing myself of this as we speak. I love people, but I can't figure out who I am by listening to other people. I will never find the answer to the question of who am I by listening to other people. Now, I can get opinions from people that I love and that I know love me and have my best interest at heart, like that there is wisdom in the multitude of counsel, 100%. But those questions are never going to be answered when you look around. Those questions are never going to be answered when you look within. Let me help you out. Let me set you free. Because listen, there's a lot of that. Like, find the answer within yourself. The answer's not in there. Like, man, you can look for the rest of your life, spend all of your days looking within for the answers to who it is that you are, and you will never, ever, ever find your answer. It'll be a life wasted in pursuit of answers in all of the wrong places. You're not going to find the answers within. When I was in second or third grade, I had a teacher who was trying to teach us about prepositions. I don't know if you guys did this or not. So we had a teacher. She came in and she did one of these like interactive lessons. And I'm all about like, let's get up and participate, right? Especially when you're that young, like, you got to move. So we all come up and she's telling a story and she's like, you know, we're making our way to our destination. Maybe it was grandma's house. I don't know. So we're going through the woods, over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. So we're trying to get to grandma's house and she's like, so we're marching, right? And everybody's marching. Anybody ever? Am I the, okay. So we're marching and she's like, oh no, we came upon a river. What are we going to do? And we're like, I don't know. I'm 6, 7, whatever. So she's like, we can't go around it. We can't go over it. We got to go through it, right? And so we're all like marching through the river. And in that moment, I had a profound understanding of prepositions. And I understood the power of prepositions. And the place that you're looking for the answers that you have makes a very significant difference. You're not going to find it looking around. You're not going to find it looking within. You're going to find the answer when you start to look up. That's the only place that you're going to get the answer to the question, who am I? Because when we look up, we say, God, who am I? God, who have you made me to be? Who have you already said that I am in your word? God, help me to not just know it, not just hear it, but to do something with it. And you know what I know? Listen, and I'm not, I call myself realistic. Shelly says I'm a pessimist. You know what I know about a message like today? I know about a message like today is you're going to hear all these words about not looking around and not looking within, and then you're still going to go look for validation from other people on, you know, by posting this and posting that and doing this and doing that. That's not where the answer is. You will never, ever find the answer around here, around there, out there, all the other prepositions there. None of it. You're not going to find it within, because we're so limited. We're so finite. We don't have the capability to fix ourselves. If we could fix ourselves, don't you think we would have done that by now? And yet, here we are, right? In all of our brokenness, with all of our issues and all the things that we're still trying to figure out, because the answer ain't in here. The answer's up there. I mean, and if you want to get spiritual, like, obviously God is omnipresent. He's with us. He's everywhere. So you can look right. Stop. Just don't do that. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, it says this. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above. Set your heart, the pursuits of your life, set them on things above. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. This is how we find out who we are. Like who you really are, not who you're pretending to be, not who you are trying so hard to be. Because y'all have seen this. We've all seen this. We've probably all done this. We've tried so hard to be something that we're not. We have tried so hard to be someone that we were never created to be, ever. How about let's just lean into who it is that God has created us to be? How about we just lean into setting our minds on things above, setting our hearts on things above? Stop, like, again, love people, definitely. Listen to the right people, get their opinions. All of that stuff is fine, but you're never gonna find the completion of the answer to who it is that you are looking around. Don't look within, because man, that is a dangerous, dangerous place to go. You do not wanna look within, you want to look up. Several years ago, I found the language, at least in my opinion, because it's mine, right? I found the language to succinctly kind of describe this whole scenario. And it's cheesy, can we be honest? But cheese is good. I like cheese. I love dairy. Shelly tried to convince me this week to go vegan, and I'm just like, girl, I don't know. I can't do it. But you know, but we watched it. This is stupid. We watched a documentary, and it was like all of the things that are killing us and causing cancer and all that. And I'm just like, well, I'm gonna die happy. So here it is. Listen to this. I hope this helps you as much as this has helped me through the years. You are the only you. You are the only you. And only you can do what you can do. So you better do what God has called you to do. You are the only you. There ain't, listen, for better or for worse, you're one of one. Ain't nobody else like you. You are the only you. And only you can do what you can. Only you have been gifted exactly the way that you've been gifted. Only you can reach the people that God has specifically put in your path. You're the only one that you can do what God has called you to do. So you best do, you better do. There's a sense of urgency in this. Don't squander the life that God has given you. You better do what God has called you to do. You are the only you, and only you can do what you can do. So you better do what God has called you to do. Our identity is not found anywhere else, in anyone else, except for in Jesus Christ. He is our life. We were raised with him. We now identify with him. And although we don't get it right all of the time, that's a fake ID. And we step back into the identity that he has given us and the purpose that he has given us. Amen. Let me pray for us. God, you are so good. And we are so incredibly grateful for you coming to the earth knowing full well who you were. God, having confidence in who you were, what you were sent to do, the mission that you came to accomplish. It was never a question that you wrestled with as to who you were, what your identity was, because you knew who you were. And God, as we start to understand who you are, that helps us to understand who we are. We can answer the question, who does God say that I am? God, I pray for every person in this room, God, who's got things going on in their life that would constitute as a fake ID. It's not who you have created them to be. Maybe it's a belief. Maybe it's an action. Maybe it's a relationship. Whatever the case may be, God, I pray that you would help them. Give them boldness. Give them courage to make decisions. Give them discipline to follow through with those decisions so that we can have an identical identity. The one that you gave us, the purpose that you gave us, the one that you created us for. Help us to match up our lives with that. Jesus, we're so thankful. And it's in your incredible name we pray. And everybody said, amen.